Proverbs 8:35, "For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Proverbs 8:35, "For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Proverbs 8:35. Proverbs 3:13, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding." Proverbs 3:13. "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding." Proverbs 3:13. James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it shall be given to him." James 1:5. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 3 John, verse 4. 3 John, verse 4. Our Heavenly Father is so magnificent to all of us, made possible for us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. The reason for our being here today, as always, is to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. That's the reason for our being in this auditorium. God desires that each one of us move away from being a nepios, a baby, and move into the area of spiritual advance. I appreciate so very much the consistency and faithfulness of you folk who desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. How thankful I am to be with people who have a desire to advance and grow on a day-by-day basis. Thank you. These are important moments so that we can properly receive God's Word. We have to be in harmony and fellowship with Him. And that's the reason why we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study, so that we can be sure that we're in a position to be able to receive properly and metabolize, utilize these magnificent truths. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours now, once again, to turn our attention away from the various distractions of this world and focus our minds upon the wonderful Word of God. We realize that there are many people today who are extremely unhappy, and yet we believe that it's your plan for us to be the recipients of your magnificent grace plan for happiness. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Just recently read that about 200 years ago, in 1835, a man visited a doctor in Florence, Italy. He was filled with anxiety. He was exhausted from lack of sleep. He couldn't eat. He avoided his friends. The doctor examined him and found that he was in prime physical condition. Concluding that his patient needed to have a good time, the physician told him about a circus in town and its star performer, a clown by the name of Grimaldi. The physician said, "Night after night, people go and they are rolling in the aisles with joy and happiness. You must go and see him," the doctor advised. "Grimaldi is the world's funniest clown. He'll make you laugh. He'll cure your sadness." "No," replied the despairing man. "That fellow cannot help me. You see, I am Grimaldi." Behind all the smiling faces that we see every day, there may be real hurt, sadness, and pain. We must be aware of the fact that there are many people today, because of various things, find themselves in the midst of sadness and unhappiness. We come today to a passage of Scripture which I believe will help us more than anything else in the world. And that is this one verse in 3 John. In order for us to find ourselves properly in this passage, we're going to begin reading with verse 1 and read down through verse 7. I trust that you'll open your Bible to this magnificent book. Go to the book of Revelation and start backing up. The next book is Jude, and the next book is 3 John. There are only 14 verses in this one book, 3 John. Listen to it, please. You look at it in your Bible. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth. That is how you're walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you're acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. Verse 6, and they bear witness to your love before the church, and you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. These verses are so magnificent and powerful. I believe it is necessary for me to read again. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth. That is how you're walking in truth. And then our verse for today. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. I've asked myself the question, is God happy? I'm asking you to ask yourself that question. Is God happy? Does He really want us to be happy? Has God provided happiness for us? Well, let's look at this verse for a few moments. You see that here we have an emphasis upon the fact that God has a plan for our happiness. God's plan for happiness. When you go to this magnificent verse, you see, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children in the truth are walking. It's very powerful for me to be able to remind you of how powerful this verse is. The Greek word mesoteron. I have no greater joy. C-H-A-R-A-N. You have an insert in the bulletin today. On the back of that insert, you will find a diagram. And we've looked at this diagram many, many, many times. And I would ask you to take a note of the last word that is used here at your bottom left. It is the Greek word that you see right here. C-H-A-R-A, chara. It is the word that is translated joy. We realize that that word is the word which means happiness. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, and notice how the Greek puts it, in the truth are walking. You see this verse from the German translation on the back of your bulletin. You see it here before you. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children in the truth are walking. And you'll notice that the word walking there is the word peripateo, a word that we've seen many, many, many times. You'll notice how the word is used, walking continually, present tense. The active voice says that each individual has to choose for himself whether he or she will walk. It's an individual matter. No one can advance for you spiritually. This is your responsibility. This is my responsibility. That's the reason why you have the word in the active voice, where the subject produces the action. This is not new to you. You've heard this thousands of times over the last years. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children in the truth are walking. God has a plan for us, and that plan is for us to be happy. Is God happy? I believe that He is. Does He really want us happy? I believe that He does. So there are some definitions. There are some words that describe happiness. There are synonyms: pleasure, contentment, satisfaction, cheerfulness, joy, joyfulness, delight. When I was looking at these synonyms, I realized that there are many others than I've given you here. But we're asking ourselves a question today. We're drawing an invisible circle around self, and we're saying to the person within that invisible circle, do I have pleasure, contentment, satisfaction, cheerfulness, joy, joyfulness, delight? The question that you see on the screen is, did God intend for Adam and Eve to have happiness? Did God intend for Adam and Eve to have happiness? Now, I'm not going to ask you to turn to this verse because I'm going to read it to you. And I want you to be very careful as I read to see if you can find three things in this verse of Scripture. When I begin to give these, when I begin to read these, all of you are going to begin, I believe, because of the proclamation of the Word of God over the last months, you're going to be able to see bouncing up three major things. Now, don't tell me if you don't see it, because I'll be embarrassed, and I'll feel like I haven't done a good job hitting you with this information over the last several months. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "And out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." I'm letting you look at that. I'm letting you have time to draw your conclusions about the three things I've just mentioned. Perhaps I need to repeat this, even though it's been several months since I've given this information. Most of you have heard me say time and time again that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are soul and body and spirit. Notice the order in which I have given that to you this time. Over the weeks and months in past, we've talked about the body, the soul, and the spirit. When I look at this verse of Scripture, I see the order a little bit differently. I see that it says, the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and is good for food, the tree of life. And then, of course, we also know that there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is not a good tree. It is one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's not our primary concern now. Let's ask you a question again. Have you seen the three points illustrated by the three trees? And out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food and the tree of life. When I go to Proverbs chapter 3 verse 18, and you'll notice the scriptures we have given you this morning in the time of quoting scriptures, wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. This is Proverbs chapter 3 verse 18. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. All of us have learned in past days that the word wisdom is a beautiful word. It is a word which means the ability not only to know, but the ability to utilize the things we know. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. And then Proverbs 15:4. A healing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. I would encourage you to write these verses and refer to them later. I'm trying to lay a foundation for you to see something. Happiness is a relationship. A relationship with God and a relationship which God has provided. That is not a simple sentence. That is for us a sentence to be looked at and thought through. What is happiness? Happiness is a relationship. A relationship with God and a relationship which God has provided. If I can remind you again of that passage in Genesis 2:9. In the first three categories of trees in the garden, God revealed for mankind the primary purpose in life, and that is to have joy, peace, contentment, and happiness. But this happiness demanded perfect environment. In other words, a soul designed for happiness and its perpetuation through the tree of life. What we've seen today is soul. We've seen spirit. We've seen three major things. A soul designed for happiness and the perpetuation through the tree of life. Roman number 2. God provided the perfect soul, the perfect body, and the perfect environment for the happiness of mankind. Please look carefully at those words. God provided the perfect soul, the perfect body, and the perfect environment for the happiness of mankind. In my mind, when I go back to the Garden of Eden, I see how God took the dirt, dirty dirt, and made a man. And from that man came the companion. They were in a place of uniqueness, perfect environment. God provided a perfect soul for Adam, a perfect body for Adam, and a perfect environment for the happiness of mankind. You say, why are you going so slowly today? I'm going slowly to give us time to think. Number 3. Note now what happened. All of us are aware of the fact that there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, leave that alone. When Adam sinned, it was not a sin of morality. but a sin, a rejection of God's plan and a rejection of the God who invented happiness. Please notice what is being said here. When Adam sinned, it was not a sin of morality. It was a sin of rejection of God's plan and the rejection of the God who invented happiness for all of us. It was a rejection of God Himself. A rejection of God Himself. When people today turn away from the mind, the thinking of Jesus Christ, they're rejecting the God Himself. When you and I decide we want to live outside of the divine power sphere, yielding to temptation and falling under the control of the old sinful nature, we're rejecting God Himself. All of us, God has provided for all of us something that's great and wonderful. But if we refuse that, we are rejecting God Himself. Now, to make it easy for you, if you look inside your bulletin today, you're going to see believers' decisions. Since happiness was and is related to the soul, happiness is a matter of decisions. You're holding in hand the insert. Doctrinal studies, believers' decisions. What you're going to see now is a reference to Revelation 2:16. It's an amazing verse indeed. In that verse, it says, in essence, if we're right, we're going to be blessed. If we're wrong, we're going to be the recipient of chastisement. I'm not trying to be ugly today, but I'm simply trying to say to you, and I'm seeing this more and more myself, if I choose to be right, I'm the recipient of blessings. If I choose to be wrong, I choose to be the recipient of chastisement. The scripture says, he whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And then it goes on to say, if we are without chastisement, then we are illegitimate and not sons. And in the King James, the word bastard is used. This is telling me that if we are born into God's kingdom and we choose to disobey God, you can put it down. God has a way of loving us by way of spanking us. It may be slight at first. It might be more intense eventually. And it could be even the sin unto death if a person continues to rebel against God. Believers' decisions are important. Notice, believers must decide which way to live life. You have this insert, so take it home with you, but let's look at it. Believers must decide which way to live life. Either divine or cosmic. No in between. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not filled with the whole sin nature. If you're under the control of your sinful nature, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not in between, a little bit of both, either or. It's important for us to see that, comprehend that. If we're inside the divine power sphere, we're inside the divine power sphere. We're under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And if we advance in the Word of God over a period of time, we're able to utilize those things which we've learned. If we choose to get outside of that power sphere, we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. We're under the control of the sinful nature. We're not pleasing God. We're not fulfilling the plan of God. And we're not going to be the recipient of God's happiness. It's as plain as day. Either it's the divine or the cosmic system. Number three, life in the divine dynasphere means historical uptrends for the client nation. What am I saying here? I'm saying that all of us in this auditorium, ever born again believer hearing my voice today, if you choose to live inside of that power sphere, you are a part of a blessing to your life, your family, your community, your church, your nation, your world. Let's choose to live in that divine power sphere. Life in the divine dynasphere means historical trends for the client nation, as well as spiritual advance for the believer. These are simple points. Number four, life in the cosmic system means historical downtrends for the client nation, as well as spiritual failure, which means cursing by association to this client nation. I trust you will take the insert. It's a powerful insert. And keep it in your Bible and look at it often. Life in the cosmic system means historical downtrends for the client nation, as well as spiritual failure, which means cursing by association to the client nation. Number five, residence in the divine dynasphere brings blessings. It's as simple as that. However, residence in the cosmic system brings disaster. Two more points here. Information received while out of fellowship has no motivation value. You can come into this auditorium, you can sit here, you can pray and be in fellowship for a few moments, and then you can allow yourself to get outside of the divine power sphere, go off into chasing various things, and be not listening attentively to what the Spirit of God is saying. And what it says here is, there will be no motivation value. I'm surprised when I hear this. And occasionally I do. I heard it just recently. Oh, preacher, some time ago, when I was listening to the proclamation of the word, I just took notes and I was so excited. But over a period of time, I have not been able to be that enthusiastic about hearing what you have to say. And my question is, even though I try to be extremely kind and gracious, where have you been? Where have you been traveling in recent days? Why is it that there was a time when the Word of God was exciting and thrilling to you and you took notes and you were excited about this, but that's not the way it is now? Oh, I know. The preacher has become old and boring. And the Word of God is not as powerful as it used to be. Let me tell you something, folks. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And you and I must be aware of the fact that we have to listen attentively and carefully in fellowship. And no matter what verse we study, God's Word is powerful. And it's the Word of God. It's not the personality of the minister. It's not the way he says things. It is God's Word that brings about joy and peace and contentment to life. Information received while out of fellowship has no motivation value. Number eight, only truth learned in the divine power sphere results in spiritual momentum. If you come into this service and you find yourself out of harmony with the Lord, I encourage you to get right back and listen to what the Bible is saying. Not necessarily what the preacher is saying, but listen to what the Word of God is saying. That's the reason why in Revelation 2:16, it says, reside in this system. This is divine. or else I will soon visit you with loving correction. In fact, if necessary, intense chastisement. When I found this verse, I was startled. I'm sure I've read it many times, but I didn't see it this way. Only truth learned while we're in harmony with the Lord brings about spiritual momentum. Reside in the divine power sphere, or else I will soon visit you with loving correction. In fact, if necessary, intense chastisement. Let's go back to what we have here. Number four, Adam, in the fall, lost something. He lost the divine provision of perfect happiness. Well, perhaps I need to back up and let you see. Number three, note now what happened. When Adam sinned, it was not a sin of morality, but a sin of rejection of God's plan and rejection of God who had invented happiness for all of us. It was a rejection of God Himself. Since happiness was and is related to the soul, happiness is a matter of decision. And then I put down 8 points, believer's decisions, which you've just read with me. Number four, Adam in the fall lost the divine provision of perfect happiness. If you're listening very, very carefully, you're going to be able to see that this clown didn't have happiness because he didn't have the right things going on in the innermost part of his being. 182 years ago, almost 200 years ago, here this clown was depressed, frustrated. And even though he was entertaining hundreds and hundreds of people and making them laugh, and he himself had a sadness in his soul. God intends for us to have joy, peace, contentment, happiness. Are you able to see this? Have we looked at this before? Body, soul, and spirit? Adam in the fall lost the divine provision of perfect happiness in his soul. After salvation, though, we can recover that happiness. But it's all related to what I found in the scripture as a divine invention. A divine invention. Peter describes this divine invention in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. Would you open your Bibles to that? Let's look at it. 2 Peter. I'll give you time to find it because I'm looking for it. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then verse 4. We're talking about 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong passage. You could tell that I was in the wrong passage, couldn't you? 2 Peter chapter 1, 3. Look at verse 2 first. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now let's look carefully at that for just a moment. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing His divine invention, His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now look at that carefully and see. In other words, God is saying to us through Peter here, God has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. Going back up to verse 3. Seeing His divine power, He has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. We're talking about a divine invention. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. The word lust, epithumia, is an interesting word. A lot of people hear the word lust and the only thing they can think about is sex lust. This word lust, epithumia, goes far, far deeper than that. A person can become desirous of things other than in that particular realm and outside of the plan and purpose of God. In other words, after you and I were saved, we can recover happiness, but it's all related to this divine invention that is described here in these verses. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, happiness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Look at verse 4 again. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of this divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now let's look at number 6. As indicated by the first category of trees, in the garden of happiness is the first of all the condition of the soul. And if there's no happiness in the soul, a person can have everything associated with happiness and be extremely miserable. I see that in that clown. Everything, it appears for happiness. But what he didn't have in his soul was what he needed most of all. So what does this number say? As indicated by the first category of trees in the garden of happiness, is first of all the condition of the soul. And if there's no happiness in the soul, a person can have everything associated with happiness and be extremely miserable. Number 7. In the second category of trees, happiness is expressed from the soul to the body. And you'll notice it emphasizes physical things, food. So that's an emphasis upon the body. Number 8. Believers as winners lie in the divine power system consistently. But believers who are losers live in the satanic cosmic system. And that's what happens to many people today. They've chosen to live outside of God's plan of happiness. Number 9. Therefore, cosmic believers are not only losers, but they're very unhappy. No soul satisfaction, no happiness. I'm giving you time to think with me about these things. Number 10, cosmic believers are always seeking searching for some area associated with happiness. Whatever it is, they look for it in many different ways, trying to find happiness. Wrong conclusions for happiness, wealth, environment, marriage, sex, drugs, alcohol, a new job. There's no such thing as happiness, anything associated with happiness, if a person is unhappy. Isn't that a strange sentence? There's no such thing as happiness in anything associated with happiness if you're unhappy. Think about that. If you're unhappy, you're unhappy. You can move to the Hawaiian Islands and you'll take your unhappiness with you. You can go on a magnificent trip somewhere, and if you're unhappy, you're going to take your unhappiness with you. Your unhappiness is your condition. No happiness in these things, even though God has a plan for a lot of these things that are good and wonderful. Socializing with happy people will not make an unhappy person happy. If you get around a happy person and you think by association with that happy person you're going to be happy, let me tell you something. It's not going to happen. It is the condition of the soul. I realize I'm going slowly today, perhaps more slowly than I need to, because I like to go more rapidly than this. But I want you to see that happiness is the condition of your soul. And this is an individual, personal matter. Your husband can't make you happy. Your wife can't make you happy. Your parents cannot make you happy. Your children cannot make you happy. Your preacher cannot make you happy. I promise you, happiness is in your soul. Would you look with me again, if I can find it, this magnificent passage of Scripture. What did it say? Do I have it here somewhere? I need you to see it. John says, I have no greater joy. He's talking about his happiness. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children in the truth are walking. Where is happiness? It's found in walking in the truth. And I want you to know that I'm happy if you're happy. If I have happiness in my soul, and you advance and grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you're happy, we're going to have an even happier church family. And we already have a happy family. I'm thankful for the happiness of this Grace family. May we bow for prayer, please. 2 minutes, and then we go to the break. These 2 minutes are so important. I'm saying to you today, if you've never been born into God's kingdom, you've never been saved by God's grace, no matter who you are or where you are, I'm promising you now that you can have a change in your life, a magnificent and marvelous change, if you will allow God to work the miracle of regeneration. You'd say, well, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean that God loves you so much that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come to the earth and go to the cross and die on the cross for your sins. He was buried and came forth out of that grave victorious, triumphant over sin and the grave and hell. He ascended to the Father's right hand, and what he wants to do now for you is to save you. And you say, well, I appreciate you telling me that, but how is it going to happen? Well, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The Bible says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. That simply means, and Jesus doesn't lie to us, God doesn't lie to us. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. So that says to us that there's only one way of salvation, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can pray right now, and you can ask God to save you. And you can say to the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for coming into my life and saving my soul. You can do this based upon the fact that God does not lie. The Lord Jesus Christ does not lie. And the Bible says, whosoever, that means you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not hope so or maybe so, but shall be saved. Thank you, Father, for your truth and the wonderful way that you have planned for individuals to know you as Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.